Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
High formation behind Goff, single receiver split wide left. Here's the snap, handoff Gibbs, bouncing it outside the left hash. Gibbs inside the 10, down to the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown Lions. Gibbs has done it again. It's his third touchdown of the night. This one from 13 yards out.
Ryan Radke, Westwood 1. At the end, it was 4 touchdowns for Jahmyr Gibbs. Final score 31-9. The Lions take care of the Minnesota Vikings. All-time bad game by Sam Darnold. The Vikings defense actually didn't play badly, even though they allowed 31 points. It was just every time that the Vikings got into the red zone, Darnold was overthrowing guys and underthrowing guys. He was just under duress because the Lions dialed up the blitz and Darnold can't handle the blitz.
Yeah, they were critical fourth downs. The Vikings basically came up short on fourth down. I think the Lions hit on fourth down, right? Let's see. No, the Lions missed a couple fourth downs too. But the Vikings were 0-for-3. The Lions were 2-for-4. I think the playoffs are going to come down to fourth down. Remember about week 10, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I said I think Jahmyr Gibbs is just as good as Saquon Barkley, and I got some sideways looks. Not really from you, just the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are like the two unique, singular running back weapons in the NFL. And Gibbs, like Barkley, can catch the ball too. So it's not just running. I think he is the special sauce that makes the Lions a real Super Bowl contender.
The second gear that he has, a lot like Saquon, but the second gear when he just needs to find the speed. Last night he was just, again, and I didn't even think that the Vikings defense played badly, but there'd be like an inch of space and he was just boom, gone. It was get to the outsides. He was fantastic.
And he's tough, too. Like, he took a massive hit early in the game and didn't back down. Oh, I do want to point out, when the Lions picked him at number 12, I said it was the dumbest pick of all time.
Oh, I think you and I both showed that pick.
You don't take a running back at 12? Little did we know.
That, we clowned a lot of things that the Lions
have
done.
Took an interior linebacker who's awesome, Jack Campbell. Brad Holmes, their GM, is on just an all-time heater. He is the legit. We started the show arguing about it. I think the Lions are the team to beat, not just in the NFC, but in the NFL right now.
They get the number one seed. I'm not sold. I think that the defense, awesome last night, very good. And Aaron Glenn now solidly a head coaching candidate, as he was last year. But if he was going to put a calling card on and a resume tape out there for other owners, last night certainly was it. We will get to the coaching carousel, which is on the move this morning with Doug Peterson being fired by the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Giants head coach and GM combination get a vote of confidence. They are staying. That's a little of the coaching news. We get to more of it, but let's go NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, EJ, I think we can leave the Saturday games behind. That was not even worth talking about, the Ravens and the Browns.
I am no longer Bailey Zappi curious. I've given up on my friend from Western Kentucky.
You mean throwing to a 350-pound lineman is what needed to take you off the edge?
That was beautiful. We've had two 350-pounders get interceptions this year. It's just amazing.
And also, we're pretty much all unpacked on the Steelers and the Bengals. Bengals didn't deserve to go to the playoffs, to be honest. And it was a furious try to come back at the end of the season. No, they did.
What a
Their they defense
lost,
is not nearly good enough.
They missed some field goals early in the season. They had a couple fluke losses. And they had a really tough division.
No, they got off to a slow start like they usually do, and they couldn't recover. Boom.
Yeah, but the slow start was honestly like, you didn't have to throw that flag on 4th-and-16 against the Chiefs. I think they did deserve to make the playoffs. I think they ran into some bad luck.
Anyway, so Bengals go home. Steelers move on. Let's get to NFL in 60 from Sunday.
All right, well, Perloff likes the Bengals, but he definitely doesn't like this guy. Bryce Young, 5 touchdowns in a win in overtime over the Falcons. Panthers win 44-38 in Atlanta.
The gist of our argument yesterday on text about this game, Atlanta did not for one second deep in their heart, think they were playing for the NFC South. Because there is no way they thought the Saints were going to win in Tampa Bay. Like, why would they? Like, there was no... Atlanta's deep down knew that this was an exhibition game. They had no idea the Saints were going to, like, play the game of their lives against the Bucs and keep it close.
Yeah, and how could they ever have known this thing? It's not like we don't have technology now, which is showing the score in real time.
Yes.
With the Saints up 10
yes.
going into the fourth quarter.
And the Falcons' energy picked up like crazy. It was close early, but I saw, like, the Falcons were like, whoa, we're playing for something here? Also, by the way, which game are we talking about? Yeah, Penix throws some beautiful games. Beautiful passes. I thought we were talking about the Saints and Bucks for a second. Penix throws some nice passes.
Well, how about some analysis there? Okay, we'll get to the Saints later. Let's go to Commanders, Cowboys. Yeah. Commanders win 23-19. We got to see some Marcus Mariota in this one.
You know, I was thinking about this. Week 18 can have a major impact on future quarterback decisions. Sam Darnold basically played well enough to get a bridge job with Minnesota. Mariota was fire yesterday. Does he get back into the bridge quarterback, you know, the Andy Dalton kind of area? Because he was perfect. And I don't know. I've always kind of been a fan of Marcus Mariota. I'll bet you somebody was like, yeah, we'll bring him in and let him play the first five games before I play the rookie. I bet you that happens.
Didn't he like quit on the team when he was at the Falcons? I like Mariota too, but that actually happened. Number one. Two, if you're talking about quarterbacks and a tryout and their future, Trey Lance, that's it. It's over. I don't think we're seeing any more Trey Lance. But meanwhile, the Commanders, who have not won a playoff game in 19 years, will go to play the Rams. That's going to be the 4-5.
What was wrong with Trey Lance? He was fine.
He's totally fine. I don't think people are taking flyers like, ooh, I can resurrect Trey Lance.
I think he's definitely good enough to be a backup, though. I don't think like that was a bad game at all. I thought the Cowboys looked like they had the game and under control the whole time. He's still very young. He missed him. Remember when he scrambled and he had the guy wide open in the end zone and underthrew him? That was bad. But generally, like his overall, he looked better than Jaden Daniels in the first half of the game by far.
Let's go to Green Bay, where the season ended on a high note for Caleb Williams. The Bears end with a win 25-22 on a game-winning field goal.
Packers now go to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles in the first round because they couldn't win this game. And they lost on a last-second Cairo Santos field goal, as EJ just said. Jordan Love didn't look that great before he got hurt. So he hits his elbow, makes his hand go numb. He goes out. Malik Willis goes in. I thought the Packers were going to be one of these hot teams, Pearl, and maybe once the playoff starts, they'll kind of flip a switch, but they're on a two-game losing streak, and it just doesn't feel like it's coming together at the right time for them.
No, I see what you're saying. I mean, they wouldn't have made it. They still, because Washington won the game,
yeah,
they were still stuck at the seventh seed. They're another
team. But again, these games going on simultaneously.
Yeah. But I don't think the Packers came in that game. I don't think they had any idea that the Commanders were going to be challenged by the Cowboys. The Cowboys... we're playing Trey Lance. It was a touchdown spread. The Packers still ran the ball really well against Chicago. They can run the ball. That's their out. If they get Josh Jacobs going, then they're dangerous. And we'll see. I'm not so worried about Sunday's game. Like, you don't think that they were really all in?
Yes, I
really
do.
No. They. I'm telling you, they definitely were not all in. Them and the Commanders didn't seem to care one way or the other about the seeding to me. Commanders sat their quarterback. Like, it just didn't seem like those teams were concerned about avoiding the sixth seed at all.
Let's go to Tennessee, where the Texans got their revenge on the Titans for trolling them with the Oilers uniforms yesterday. Mm-hmm. Texans beat the Titans 23-14 in this one.
Was this, like, the launch point for the Texans? We've been waiting for them to offensively play a really good game, Perloff, to kind of say, like, all right, now you're playoff ready. I don't know if I didn't feel like that. Overtime? Oh, excuse me, this wasn't overtime.
No, this was
regulation.
This is a Davis Mills game. They weren't even, nobody was playing on either team.
I don't know how to feel about Houston. I don't feel that confident. I'm going to be honest with you. They play the Chargers in the 4-5 matchup, and I think this is going to be my big bet. Is that the Chargers are going to go beat the Houston Texans.
Beat the Houston Texans. I can't believe the spread's not bigger. Like, the Texans look awful. There was nothing on Sunday. Although there was this amazing Hail Mary pass at the end of the game. Did you guys see that? where Levis, I think it was Levis or Rudolph, one of them threw the ball 90 feet in the air. And for somehow the Titans guy ran around. The Titans were trying to kill clock the whole time. They just wanted to get out of there and get the number one pick. And they did a nice job.
Chargers are a 3-point favorite in Houston.
That means if it was on a neutral field, they're probably 6-point better. Texans are really struggling.
No pre-passes from Anthony Richardson in this one because he didn't play, but the Colts did beat the Jaguars in overtime 26-23.
Yeah, the big breaking news this morning, Doug Peterson's been fired from the Jaguars, but their general manager, Trent Baalke, the architect of a 4-13 team, gets to stay. Listen, obviously, we know when Trevor Lawrence got hurt, the season was basically over. I'm surprised that the Colts are retaining Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard. They get a vote of confidence from Jim Irsay. I don't think they've done that great of a job with Anthony Richardson, and the team just feels like it doesn't really have an identity outside of, I guess, Jonathan Taylor. Not that impressed with the Colts, and it seems like it's a colossal dumpster fire over there, too, with the veterans questioning the buy-in from their quarterback.
I mean, the Colts were 9-8 last year, and they're 8-9 this year. Like, you put them in the same category, like, you're okay with teams like the Browns and the Raiders and the Titans? Like,
no, I'm not okay with any of those.
I mean,
teams.
To be a 500 team without a healthy quarterback is something in the NFL. I'm telling you, I think Shane Steichen has done a lot with a little there. The fact that they're still in playoff contention for most of these seasons, what if it all came together healthy there and they get a little bit better? I would stick with Steichen. I don't think they're going to do any better.
I call this hustling going backwards. The Patriots win on Sunday over the Bills, but then lose the number one pick. But shout out to Joe Milton. He threw for 241 yards in this game.
Joe Milton had the play of the year, but there was a holding call. I got to tell you, the thing I'm looking forward to most next year is the 3 preseason Joe Milton games. This guy is amazing.
He's fun.
It's a shame that he's behind Drake May, who's also amazing. I tried to turn this game. It was over. What happened, Maggie? I assume it was your Bills. You watched it.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway from this is Tyler Bass missed an extra point. Like, come on, man. You're the one guy who couldn't sit. Kicker can't miss extra point. No. Yeah. Listen, for the Patriots, they fired Gerard Mayo right after the season, but they're going to stick with Elliott Wolf, who's the general manager. I'm just happy that no one got hurt for Buffalo. And the Patriots, they should really be in the T. Higgins sweepstakes here because they need some help.
Oh, he'd be great. I think Kyemi Fairbairn missed an extra point, too. Like, that is, kicking is a huge story coming into this offseason. And I know how you feel about the Bills kicker. Not good.
Yeah, look at the Vikings kicker last night. I mean, he missed one by, I mean, it, yeah, it went out of the TV shot.
Yeah. It was. Did you guys see when the Cowboys kicker on the kickoff hit the cheerleader?
I did see that.
That was awesome.
Because she got knocked in the back of the head. Ouch.
All right, let's go to Philly, where the Giants got back on track by losing the final game of the season. Eagles win 20-13. Giants secured the number 3 pick with this loss.
I think if the Hall of Fame should have an exhibit, the Pro Football, if you want to see how to tank, watch that Giants-Eagles game yesterday. The Giants were like, try your hardest, Eagles. We are not going to win this game.
Like, they had enough. A week ago.
I was going to say, too little, too late, because they already beat the Colts last week, which was their real Super Bowl.
Yeah,
trying to get the number one overall
but
pick.
But they were not going to fall any further. They had no interest in letting Tanner McKee walk out of there with an L. That, again, week 18, awful.
Well, the biggest thing for me, and obviously it's going to be the Eagles hosting the Green Bay Packers. We should have mentioned, by the way, that the Bills are going to be hosting the Denver Broncos. Forgot to mention that in the last update. But Jalen Hurts, concussion, out 2 weeks. Is this just because they found an avenue where they could rest him, or because his head is not right?
Nobody played on Sunday, so he wouldn't have played. We got a note from football doctor David Chow that he thinks Hurts is fine. This is just a matter of rest. I just worry if you have a concussion, one more hit, you know, you're vulnerable for the next concussion. Or Hurts is going to have to run in this playoffs. A bit scary.
Let's go to Tampa Bay, where it's cake and ice cream for everybody. Buccaneers clinch the division by beating the Saints 27-19. Mike Evans reaches 1,000 yards for the 11th straight season.
Yeah, this is awesome, by the way.
The way that Mike Evans got the 1,000 yards was basically in kneel down time, but the Tampa Bay Bucs ran a play anyway, got to Evans. Everyone was excited about it. I was nervous for the Bucs in this one. Not just because I laid the 14 points like an idiot, but they were being outclassed by the Saints for most of this game. And it took a 10-point comeback I mean, they're at home. It took every part of Baker Mayfield using his legs to convert on these first downs. He was taking contact. And like, this is not how you wanted to win this last game of the season. But the most important thing is they got the win. They win the division.
How about that touchdown pass from Mayfield to Jalen McMillan? There were two touchdowns of the Saints that were inches away. One, both I think were MVS in the corner of the end zone, where Spencer Rattler threw a beautiful pass. He looked really good, by the way.
They
took the touchdowns away from the Saints. Easily could have gone the other way. But I tried to live bet this because I knew the Bucs were going to come back. Apparently, Vegas knew the Bucs were eventually going to win. It's still huge odds on the Saints. Good effort. I don't know where that franchise is going, by the way. I don't even know.
Oh, the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who their quarterback is. Are they sticking with Carr? They're almost forgotten.
They owe him a lot of money. By the way, it's Commanders Bucks. I may have before said Commanders Rams. That was a misspeak. Rams are playing the Vikings. Commanders playing the Bucks. That's the 3-6.
Let's go to Denver, who clinched a playoff spot. Let's blow up another Carson Wentz poster. He scored 0 points as the Broncos beat up on the Chiefs 38-0.
Oh, my God. You guys overhype Bryce Young. If anybody says what we saw on Sunday from Bo Nix is who Bo Nix is, you're ridiculous. The Chiefs were laying down. I saw an interesting stat from Aaron Schatz, who runs Football Outsiders. They come up with this DVOA stat, which is an overall measurement. It's the Broncos had the fourth highest DVOA in any NFL game ever. It was the easiest thing. Not only were they not rushing the quarterback, they were laying over for the run game. They didn't even try on offense. They were just trying to kill the clock. This was the most pathetic Week 18 game I've ever seen in my life, Maggie.
Just the totals here from the Broncos side of things. Sutton, Mims, Bailey, Williams. I mean, these guys all had at least 50 yards receiving. Not to mention the rushing. It was a full throttle. I mean, some of the Bo Nix passes, too. These deep passes. They were connecting. It was like they couldn't be stopped.
No, but
the Chiefs
wouldn't be stopped.
They weren't playing anybody.
Yeah, there was a run where, remember when the Packers let Terrell Davis score in the Super Bowl or try to? Mm-hmm. That's what the Chiefs were doing. Like, we got to let them score, like almost push the running back into the end zone. I didn't understand this game at all. I thought Carson Wentz was playing for next year's job. Nope. What happened to that?
He understood the assignment. Andy Reid's like, keep that clock running.
Keep the Bengals out of the playoffs.
If you want to be on this team, you'll keep the clock going, sir.
98 total yards for the Chiefs in that game. Let's go to Las Vegas, where the Chargers beat the Raiders 34-20, setting up their first-round matchup in the playoffs next week.
I think the Chargers are live here, very live. I think they're dangerous. They're obviously a favorite going on the road against a division winner in the Texans. I'm surprised Jim Harbaugh is not getting more Coach of the Year love. And as far as the Raiders are concerned, I mean, what is the future of Antonio Pierce? Is Tom Brady making this hire? There's so many question marks for a franchise playoff that has fans from coast to coast.
No idea with the Raiders. Chargers, yes, they have a great chance of this first round. They still have beaten a lot of bad teams. It's like, for me, it's really hard to judge who they are. I think they win their first game, probably lose the second game. They'll be on the, they'll play the Chiefs probably in the second round if they get through. So, yeah, I don't know. TBD. I think the funny thing is we're not even really seeing like a good Chargers team. I expect a much better team next year, and here they are at 11-6.
Maybe not cake and ice cream for the team, but definitely cake and ice cream for Geno Smith. He made $6 million in incentives, and the Seahawks got a win over the Rams, who were playing backups. Seahawks win 30-25.
Don't get it. Why were the Rams playing backups? But I did love seeing me some Jimmy G. I felt like I was in a time machine. He's throwing the ball just like a foot high of where it's supposed to go. This is great. I don't understand the Seahawks at all. 10-7, they're one of the rare 10-win teams not to make the playoffs. Geno still looks really good. They have this great, great, great receiving core, but it's not enough. They just can't get over that hump.
No, and I was surprised with the Rams also. And so the Rams are now going to play the Vikings, who are favored. I really would have thought the Rams would have wanted to go full out here so that you could play the Commanders, and you would have been favored at home against a rookie quarterback.
It's probably a 6-point swing in the odds.
Yeah, I was stunned by this.
I mean, I still think they do have a good chance against the Vikings, no doubt. But the Commanders, with a rookie quarterback and a defense that is okay at times, but inconsistent, yeah, whatever. I mean, I heard Sean McVay talking about it. He seemed like it was an easy decision.
Let's go to MetLife Stadium, where Aaron Rodgers joined the 500 touchdown club, and Tyreek Hill is looking for a new home as the Jets beat the Dolphins 32-20.
And thus concludes one of the most disappointing seasons in the history of the New York Jets, which is saying something, because this is a team that once won one game. Listen.
Don't be a freaking weirdo.
And I wish he would take his own advice. I don't know about Rodgers. As far as his future, it's really, really murky, because is he going to be a backup quarterback? Is a team going to bring him in and say, all right, you can bring in Davante Adams and Alan Lazard and all these other guys? I don't see it.
That's a big llama.
Did you notice that he said, I'm going to make a decision really quickly this time? Like, I'm not going to drag it out. No darkness retreats. He literally said that last week.
He also said, I want to see what the Jets have to say, which is interesting. It seems like the reports are the Jets don't want him. So, again, you can't trust quarterbacks at the end of the season. I mean, say Sam Darnold signs a big contract. McCarthy's knee is still a little wobbly. Aaron Rodgers just goes full farm and goes to the Vikings next year. Hey, listen, the dude completed 63% of his passes, had 4,000 yards, basically, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks. Put him in the Pro Bowl. And I disagree that this was not one of the most... I think last year was disappointing, even more disappointing. Because, like, last year, before he tore his Achilles, people had the Jets in the Super Bowl. This year, people were a little more cautious, I think. But... I don't know. Who's their quarterback next year? That's the thing. Like, you say that it's not Aaron Rodgers. Give me a quarterback. Who's actually going to play that position for the New York Jets?
J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, gosh.
They need a GM. They need a coach. They need a quarterback. That is the trifecta.
Out of the fourth one, they need a prayer. Let's go to the final game of this slate here. Cardinals 47, Niners 24, capping off another disappointing season for the Niners.
Man. How many question marks do the Niners have going into this offseason? What's going to be the deal with Brock Purdy? Is this going to get ugly, or are they going to do this the easy way or the hard way? And what's going on with McCaffrey? Are we ever going to see a fully healthy him or Trent Williams? What's the future of Deebo Samuel? So much.
On the other side, by the way, that's funny. Kyler Murray putting up huge numbers. It's almost like he's good in meaningless moments. Yeah, that's a rip, dude. That's another team that is stuck in limbo forever. It's 7-8 wins with Kyler Murray. Like, come on. Of course Kyler Murray totally balls out. Where is that when it matters, Maggie?
I have a question. What happened to Marvin Harrison Jr. being the second coming of every wide receiver? We were basically putting this dude into the Hall. We talk about Mike Evans going to the Hall of Fame. We basically put Marvin Harrison Jr. into the Hall of Fame.
He's pretty good.
No, he is, but I'm just looking at what's the final total for him yardage-wise.
885 yards for the season.
ATDs. Yeah, but that's a lot on Murray. Murray was really, really inconsistent this season. I hate to say it. The guy needs to run back 14 steps to see the field. It just, his height comes back to haunt him. I don't hate Harrison. I think the other wide receiver, I think Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers look better, but I wouldn't give up on him. And the other thing is Jeremiah Smith being at Ohio State, that also sort of waters down Marvin Harrison. He's the second best Ohio State receiver in the last 2 years. He's good. He had a catch yesterday. It was amazing.
855-212-4227. There you go. NFL in 60. Coming up next, we get the coaching carousel updated for you. Who's already been shown the door so far this morning? We've got that for you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Oh,
people we're auditioning new cities to live in.
There's relocation talk because they just implemented what is called congestion pricing in New York City. So it costs us a little more to get to work, and we're not happy about it, Maggie.
Nope. But what are you going to do?
Well, at least it's promised. So there are five of us here. Why don't we all make a vow that we'll stay together and find a new city?
All five of us?
It's like a reality show.
Even Manny?
Especially Manny.
Manny's got the easiest move of all of us. Yeah, Manny, you choose. Well, I'll follow you, dude.
That's true. Manny's got nothing to stay here.
Let's go to Tijuana.
You know what? As good a shot as anybody.
Maggie, you have family in Mexico.
I do. They constantly are asking me to move to Mexico.
How's the internet?
They said the Wi-Fi is great down there. So,
We just got it.
It's nice and strong.
Yeah.
Because it's new.
It's called dial-up.
that new internet smell.
Still AOL tins with 3 minutes?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Yeah, no, my family, my brother lives in Mexico. He's always telling me to come live down there.
Altitude. It's high altitude. I don't know if I can do that.
You don't even feel it.
You got to get used to it. I don't know if I could do that.
You don't feel it until you start, you know, going for a light jog, and then 5 minutes, you're coughing up blood.
You guys ever been to Denver?
No, I've been to Mexico. I've been to Mexico City. That's where I've been.
It's even higher than Denver.
Yeah,
right?
Bro.
Which is weird because I've been both places, obviously, and I went to Denver and had like one beer and lost my wallet, and I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
But Mexico, I seemed fine.
What are the hot cities these days? So Nashville.
Anywhere but here.
Denver. Las Vegas.
A lot of North Carolina, South Carolina from this area.
Do you think we could be the new head coach of the Raiders, all of us? Is it
collectively?
Yeah, like a conglomerate.
I don't want to be any of those places you just named. So,
by the way, so Antonio Pierce, though, we don't know his future. A couple things. We do know the future of Doug Peterson. He is out as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. No big shock there. Trent Baalke, the GM, gets to say, I'm just stepping all over Bogus's update now. Shad Khan, in a statement, says he is going to be collaborating closely with the GM to find a coach. So Urban Meyer 2.0.
Who cares Step about that? It. I don't even want Trent Baalke hiring the coach. why are they keeping Trent Baalke, Bogus? Since Maggie said the headline, you give the answer.
It is the most inexplicable thing in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
You said Brian Thomas, good draft pick. Trayvon Walker, not a bad draft pick.
There were so many rumors that Ben Johnson was going to be able to pick his GM and go there and have Trevor Lawrence, and boom, you got a team. Now you're just hiring Doug Peterson 2.0, Maggie.
Well, I mean, I'll coach the team if you need me to. Sheesh.
You're looking for how about Jacksonville? Low tax rate, decent weather.
I'm in.
You couldn't do worse, Maggie. This will be his sixth head coach pick, Trent Baalke. The only good one is Harbaugh.
Damn.
You got to be kidding.
Tom Sula.
No, I think Jim Harbaugh was there
including
before
San Francisco.
Baalke.
Including San Francisco, two places. This will be the sixth head coach he's had underneath him.
Any day now, he'll get it right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Listen, to be fair, Doug Peterson made a lot of sense. You know, that was a very, that hire made sense. Off of Urban Meyer, you needed somebody who was going to get things right. And they authored one of the biggest comebacks in NFL playoff history. They were down 27-0 to the Chargers, came back and won that game, and then made it a game in Arrowhead against the Chiefs. It was a close loss. It's just all kind of fell apart.
I know we talk about how desired a job it is to be like a bowl commissioner or like an athletic director in college football. Like, I would love to be like an incompetent like team president, general manager. Oh. But the fact that like, you know, a Trent Baalke could just be someplace for a decade and win nothing, or like a Troy Weaver in Detroit could win like, you know, have the most losses in franchise history and be there for 7 years and just rake in the dough. Like, you don't even got to be good. You could just sit there and watch your team suck and you could still just cash in. Like, that's the job I want.
Well, I got to tell you, some of those bad GMs, though, have bad owners making some decisions. Like, I don't think all these GMs are bad. I think sometimes the owner gets involved.
Yeah, like a Woody Johnson.
Yeah, like, that's a great example. I don't think that, I think in Chicago, I'm not sure Ryan Poles, I can't put all their problems on him. I think there's a lot of voices in some of these places. And you always say that, Maggie, the structure's got to be right.
Yeah, and a lot of these teams get it all wrong. And I don't know what Jacksonville's going to do, where they're going to turn. Are they going to go to another, you know, retread like a Brian Flores? All of a sudden, Cliff Kingsbury's name has gotten very quiet. I don't know if they would do that. Ben Johnson, I thought, has kind of been penciled into the Bears, but we'll see.
Joe Brady, take him away from the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the thing about, I don't know. I mean, this is what happens when you have a really good quarterback. Teams are going to want to poach your offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
what's so funny, folks?
I'm just this Jaguar, like, complete malaise. I'm looking at the list I found out what you guys were talking of. Right. Jim Tomasula, 5-11 in San Francisco. Chip Kelly, 2-4. Mm-hmm. Both those guys lasting 1 year. Urban Meyer didn't finish a season, and Doug Peterson goes 22-29. And Trent Baalke has to hire another coach because he's convinced one person in Shad Khan that he's good at his job.
That sounds
bad when you put it like that.
When you bring all those facts.
And this list
has
gives
anyone
him,
sent that to Shad Khan?
This list gives him credit for Harbaugh. I don't remember. I wouldn't remember who hired him yesterday, let alone all those years ago in San Francisco. But this says that he hired Jim Harbaugh.
Mm.
So he was 1-1, and he has been a resounding 0-4 since.
I mean, we have Tony Khan's number. Should we get Tony on the phone? Tony, do you know that Trent Baalke can't hire a head coach to save his life?
By the way, you said Chip Kelly was What was Chip Kelly's
2-14.
You said 2-4, I thought.
Oh,
I
was 2-14.
2-14. Yeah. That didn't go well.
They would have been better off if they just stopped it when it was 2-4 and said, you know what? this isn't going to work. We're going to just move on. They didn't need the other 10 games.
I don't know. Chip Kelly was pretty good in Philadelphia.
He was. He won 10 games.
That was weird. That was weird. But then he fell apart really quickly. Like, yeah,
glorious.
He had a great season. Nick Foles had 27 touchdowns and 2 picks. It. Now we have bigger questions. Like Chip Kelly finally throwing the ball to Jeremiah Smith. Like, yeah. Chip Kelly is the bane of my existence right now because he cost me a bet against Michigan, so I'm still mad at him for that and for the 2-14 year.
Bogish, what else we got?
So all of this leads us with 5 head coaching vacancies, not the Giants, who are keeping Brian Daboll and GM Joe Shane. The Dolphins did the same yesterday with Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer. The Colts did it with Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard. Far from all of that are Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell. Their Lions and Vikings decided the top spot in the NFC in the final game of the regular season last night. Detroit won going away 31-9 and claimed that one seed for the first time in team history. But there could be a rematch in 2 weeks.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
That was Campbell telling O'Connell, I'll see you in 2 weeks, during their post-game handshake on NBC. We would get Act 3 for these two if the Vikings beat the Rams in L.A. next Monday night and the Commanders and Packers lose their games this weekend. That would leave the Vikings as the lowest seed left in round 2, which would mean going to Detroit.
I mean, major bulletin board material right there for the Rams.
Yeah, yep. I don't think Kevin O'Connell liked it, judging by his facial expression as he kind of pulled away.
Should not. That's extremely patronizing. It's like, to me, like, and that Dan Campbell, he was trying to set up, he was setting up O'Connell there. Be like, this ass kicking's coming again in 2 weeks if you want to even think about beating the Rams next week. Because they beat the Lions, they beat the Vikings earlier in the season pretty convincingly. The Vikings, like, had survived that game to stay in it.
Yeah.
And they beat them convincingly in Detroit. That was him saying, you have no shot against us, bro. Good luck in 2 weeks.
Well, the other part is it led a little bit of a hangover, too. That first loss, they lost to the Lions, and they went out and lost to the Rams the next week.
And for 4 weeks,
but then
weeks,
they went on a 9-game winning streak.
Right, but even during those wins, remember, they beat the Jaguars like 10-9 or in a week. Like, Sam Darnold had like a stretch where he was struggling.
12-6, right?
Yeah, 12-6, right.
Remember the Falcons won?
Right, exactly. That was all in that stretch where they were still winning. So, like, that loss that they took to the Lions definitely carried over even to the win. So, that was all mental games, I think, from Dan Campbell. Mm. I appreciate it, but I do think that he may have angered some young, talented Rams down in L.A. I don't know if they want that smoke.
Now, for Minnesota, again, to get back into that game next week, and they'd have to win on Monday night. And to do that, they'll have to fix a red zone offense that kicked 2 field goals in 4 red zone trips last night. The 2 others were fourth down failures. Our bad, says Sam Darnold.
Didn't execute the way that we wanted to. You know, felt our defense played really well. They kept us in the game for most of the game. And, you know, just going down in the red zone and kicking field goals, you know, that's not going to cut it against a good team like that.
Darnold. Did they put him on the moon? Buzz Aldrin should be like taking over the mic next.
Darnold completed just 44% of his passes last night. He was charged with 8 overthrows alone in the first half while his team was failing to score those points. The Bucs are NFC South champs again after a come-from-behind 27-19 home win over the Saints, and the Broncos grabbed the final AFC wild card by steamrolling the Chiefs' backups 38-0. The Seahawks won their meaningless finale 30-25 over the Rams, with Geno Smith cashing in on 3 separate $2 million bonuses: completion percentage, passing yards, and wins. So Geno cleared $6 million yesterday.
I hate being poor
and untalented.
By the way, those are short. Those incentives all day were kind of driving me crazy, too. I'm like, oh, does Calais Campbell really need another $300,000? He's already got $85 million in the bank. I do think, like, people were, like, throwing numbers around like crazy. Like, this is an insane money.
Well, it was also kind of silly because at some points, like, for the game, one of the games I was watching was obviously my Bills playing against the Patriots. I'm like, why is James Cook still in the game? It's like, oh, because he needs a touchdown to trigger another 75K or whatever, which is awesome money for regular people, but you know.
I also love Jerry Jones completely lying about the fact that he didn't know about Cooper Rush needing a snaps incentive to reach a bonus. I had no idea. Come on, man.
Yeah, he's like, so Cooper Rush needed a certain number of snaps, right, to trigger a $500,000 bonus.
Which would have meant a lot to that guy.
Of course.
Clayus Campbell, I mean, he's made millions of dollars for 100 years playing in the NFL. Cooper Rush, he's hanging on in the NFL. That 500, he needed that.
That's like NBA Cup money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Redo his kitchen.
Cooper
anyway.
Rush.
Yeah, that's Jacob Toppin money, man.
Jacob Toppin.
Cooper Rush is going to be the radio color guy in Dallas for the next 45 years. You all know that.
That's how he'll finally make his millions.
That being said, by the way, Mike Evans is going for his final catch, right, to get the record, get the incentive. A Saints guy could have, everyone in the stadium knew it was coming to him, but two Saints defenders could have jumped that and ran it back for a pick six and tied the game.
Oh, wait, by the way, did you guys see the postscript on this? How much did Evans get? $1 million?
$3 million.
Yeah. Okay. Mike Evans, who also has made more money than God, that's fine, whatever. Not us to count his wallet. But he reaches the incentive. An extra $3 million. They're like, Mike, what are you gonna do? He's like, I'm heading straight to the casino. I was like, oh
yes. Nice.
But come on, like, to Manny's point, like, there are people who look at this money
and hate being poor.
I'm going straight to the casino. Did he walk out with any of it left?
Probably not.
Do you think he blew $3 million last night at the blackjack table?
God bless.
He probably did. And also, shout out, like Perloff was mentioned, I mean, this guy only needs 5 yards, and the DB covering Mike Evans in man coverage just bails out like he's going to run a freaking 50-yard fly route. I'm like, he only needs 5 yards. Why are you bailing out as soon as the snap? I mean, that was weird.
It was like a stray hand Brett Favre.
Like I didn't, when I watched it first, like, oh no, I think there was a pick play. And I'm like, nope, that DB is literally just running to the exits of the stadium. He's not even trying to make a play.
He actually meets Mike Evans at the casino. He's already sat down. I kept the seat warm for you.
Well, I mean, one thing about it, I think, did Devontae Adams make an incentive yesterday? Or he had
Rodgers had the 500th touchdown.
Yeah.
There may have been a Devontae
Adams. Well, I was just saying, like, Devontae Adams has to pay New York taxes and congestion pricing on that incentive. Mike Evans can afford to go to the casino down in Tampa.
Florida.
Yeah, the Jets players get double screwed. Then they have to pay the $9 toll to get home. That is terrible. I'm not going to be Phil Mickelson and complain about taxes.
Can you imagine? You're in like a Ferrari complaining about congestion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, let me just get my G-Wagon, fit this through the toll here. How dare they?
I hate being poor.
One other coaching note. It's from Cincinnati. It's not Zach Taylor. Lou Anarumo, Bengals defensive coordinator, has reportedly been let go. So I guess that means Taylor is not going to be let go.
Wow.
He's not going to walk away?
Faster. Well, you knew Lou Anarumo was done. This was so bad.
Terrible.
But it's so crazy. He was a genius 2 years ago, and now he's the worst coordinator in the league. Something else happened. Something behind the scenes. It made no sense that he all of a sudden forgot how to coach.
But to be fair, they're kind of the one team, I guess maybe the Ravens, who feel like they really can stop Mahomes. And the Bills
don't.
Yeah, Lou
Anarumo's had great
meaningful
success against Mahomes.
I know.
He's been a really, really good NFL coach. Like, I think he was like a possible head. I mean, they don't have any personnel on defense. They have Trey Hendrickson and Prey. By the way, Trey Hendrickson's fantastic. I don't know what the future of this team is. I think you're right. I think Zach Taylor stays, right? That's got to be what it means.
Has to be.
855, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
855-212-4227. Thank you so much. Coming up, okay, so we are going to pick our upset for the first round. That is happening. And also the latest on the coaching carousel. It is indeed Black Monday in the NFL. Don't move. Black Monday in the NFL. Some surprising, some not. Doug Peterson has been fired as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's not so shocking. General manager Trent Baalke does get to stay. And then Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals, Perloff, has also been fired. It was a bad season for the Bengals defense, no doubt. They spoiled an MVP caliber year from Joe Burrow and a triple crown year from Ja'Marr Chase. And the defense was the reason. I'm just a little surprised he didn't get more time considering how much success he's had against Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, they were just awful this year. I don't know what happened to them. I guess the personnel is not great. I'm not sure who on that defense besides Trey Hendrickson is like awesome, but there's no way they could bring him back. I think that was a fait accompli about halfway into the year. Everyone knew Lou Anarumo was on his way out.
Well, to be honest, like I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I'd love it if the Bills would bring him in for some kind of consulting job because sure. or some kind of what the hell, give him the defense coordinator. Well, Bobby Badge does a fine job, but I think that you have a defensive oriented head coach, so there's only so much he's gonna be able to do. But honestly, bring him in to design game plans just for Mahomes.
I mean, how is last year's playoff game, Mahomes was good, not super explosive. What was it, 27-23? So I think the Bills said okay.
Yeah,
I think they had a chance last year. Last year's game was razor thin against the Chiefs, so I'm not sure you need Lou Anarumo to win. You might win anyway, Maggie. But you might as well. Hey, he's out there now. Bring him in to consult.
So the New York Giants are also giving a vote of confidence to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, so they get to stay. So here's kind of what we're looking at in terms of vacancies. The Patriots, who fired Gerard Mayo yesterday after the game, the Jets, the Saints, the Bears. So far, we have not heard from the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike McCarthy's status still up in the air. Jerry Jones being very cagey yesterday, not committing either way. And you want to know what the thing is about Jones, about Jerry, that is? Mike McCarthy's contract goes through January 14th. He's going to work every day of that contract, even if they move on. Jerry's got this weird thing. Remember when everyone knew he was firing Jason Garrett, but they still made him stick around until the absolute last day of the contract?
Yep.
It's like a weird quirk.
Well, Adam Schefter reported this morning that the Cowboys are going to move real slow on McCarthy. Maybe that's why. I'll tell you one thing. The Jets are interviewing Mike Borgonzi today, the Chiefs assistant GM. Mm. You know who he would bring in? I mean, that's clearly a Matt Nagy hire.
Oh, does Nagy get a second shot?
Nagy's interviewing. Nagy's already been talked about as interviewing in most of these places.
I thought Nagy was going to wait out Andy Reid, stick around and be and take over for Andy Reid once he retired. But maybe Andy Reid doesn't want to retire.
I don't know. Like Andy Reid's, I don't know how many years Andy Reid needs to get the record. Not many, but I don't.
Well, now Belichick's at North Carolina. Yeah. Like, he's going to be the next one to get the record.
Yeah. I don't know how long. Reed will definitely get the record soon. That's the other thing. That's one reason Belichick didn't want to come back, because he knew Reed would just pass him again. I don't think Reed's anywhere done. I don't know. I would just be worried if I was the Jets and I went from Nate Hackett to Matt Nagy, I would just throw up my hands and say I'm done.
EJ, if you brought in Matt Nagy, presumably with a young quarterback, I guess?
Yuck.
I'm just saying, by the way, I have no idea.
Made the playoffs with Mitchell Trubisky. Does that change your mind?
No, because I watched those offenses, and that Bears run was more about the defense being really good, not about anything to do with Trubisky or the Bears offense. I just think he got lucky. He got fortunate. He went to a place with a good defense. Now, I do think I think coaches can grow. I think sometimes we first stop, they go to some place, we just throw them out. I don't think that's fair. I just don't think Nagy works with the Jets. There's just so many other issues. I think for his sake, he should go somewhere a little more put together.
Yeah, he's also supposed to be a big candidate for New Orleans. So, but then again, there are a lot of candidates. I mean, there's 10 or 15 candidates for 5 jobs. And we don't know that the Jets are going to hire this guy. But if I'm the Jets, I wouldn't mind getting a guy who built the Chiefs. Help build the Chiefs with Brad Beach, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
Knowing nothing about Mike Borgonzi. Other than that, it's kind of fun to say.
That is a cool name.
All name team.
Cool name GM, by the way. Idzig, McAgnon, weird names over there.
Yeah, how they do.
Lots of Z's.
Cool name, that's where it ends. Okay, upsets. We got to pick one, Perloff, before the show, and we've left ourselves almost no time. First round upsets, I can tell you I've got mine. I don't ever bet on rookie quarterbacks on the road. I'm going to break my own rule. Commanders over Tampa Bay Bucks. Commanders are a 3.5-point underdog. I didn't love what I saw from Tampa yesterday. And yeah, it's the playoffs, but yesterday was a de facto playoff game. And if the Saints were any better, they are winning that game. Tampa's losing, and it would have been a terrible, terrible home loss. So to me, give me the Commanders.
The Commanders.
Okay, so the rules are we have to pick an upset.
Yep.
Of the first round.
Yes.
Of the NFL playoffs. And we have 20 seconds left.
Yeah, I handed you the Vikings.
It's almost as if I'm vamping because I don't like any of these teams.
Come on,
who am I going to pick? You want me to pick the Texans? They can't even score a touchdown.
What about the Vikings?
Nay. Dude.
Who's the Sam Darnold fan now?
I can't pick it.
Sam a chance.
I can't pick an upset. I'm going all chalk. I would be going against myself. I like all the favorites.
Boo this man. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez. Thank you, Andrew Bogish. Andrew Kaplan, Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers.